Good morning. Someone came up to me and said, "How are you at herding cats to get this group to sit down?" I said, "I don't need to herd cats. I have Jamie. And she's going to start playing and they'll get the idea." So good morning and welcome to worship as we are here for what is the beginning, the year 121 of Christian people joining together in this place and coming together for worship. It's Memorial Day. What a wonderful day for us to be together, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. The president of our church association, Elizabeth Wright, said to me, "I could start the service and introduce you and Jamie." And I said, "I don't think you need to introduce me. I think they know who I am. Besides that, they need to know that I can get up here and I know how to do it." So that's why we're doing it this way. I do want to introduce, though, our new musician, and it's Jamie Pebble, who you just heard play a little bit. Jamie joins our staff and is very excited about being with us. She comes to us having been the director of music. She had choirs and the whole shebang at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Ludington. She doesn't live in Ludington. She lives down in New Era, but is driving up here to be with us. She's just finished her work at West Shore Community College, and next year will be commuting to Grand Valley University in Grand Rapids to finish her degree from New Era, and so this works perfectly for her, she said. "I'll do my love of music, concentrate during the summer, and then concentrate on my studies." She's going to get married during the summer, so I won't confuse you and tell you what her new name's going to be, but you'll see a different name in the bulletin about after the 4th of July, I think, and then you'll realize that she has gotten married this summer. So, Jamie, we welcome you. And she came to me this morning and she said, "The only thing is, I don't have this Avery and Marsh doxology." I said, "Then we aren't singing that today. So if that's our worst stumble, we're okay." This is Memorial Day, and I'm conscious, as you are, of what that day means in the life of our nation. Particularly, we used to call it Declaration Day all the time, and people would go to cemeteries, decorate the graves. But it's a day when we are conscious of those who have given so much in service for our nation, both men and women. Some literally gave it all and gave their lives, but many of you in this room have given time in service to our nation. I'd like to invite those persons who have served in the service organizations of America to please stand at this time. And, of course, some of you know in your churches at home, this also is Pentecost Sunday. I kind of thought, where are we going to go on this Sunday? Are we going with Memorial Day? Are we going to go with Pentecost? A day, of course, celebrating the birthday of the church as well. I have been asked to announce, because we had the door open, in case you didn't see the sign, there is no water in this building right now as they're trying to get the coffee shop up and going. So if you missed that word, don't be trying to sneak back this way for the facilities. People don't do it too much in the service anyway because people would see you, right? So now you have a really easy way. You sneak out the back and go to the hotel if you'd like to do that. And I won't point out, "Hank Laurie's getting up right now and he's going." No, I won't say that. For the rest of the season, when we are in worship in the auditorium, we're going to go back to using prayer cards for a prayer request from people that they can be put in the offering plate, handed to a staff member. They can be anonymous or not. But it is our tradition in these services in the dining room, as we can be a little more informal, to make sure we know the concerns that we want to remember in prayer together. I've been given several of those already, but I'd like to give the opportunity for anyone who would like to share anything particular that you'd like to make sure we add in our corporate prayer this morning. Bruce.
I'm sure you already have it, but we want to pray for Bill and his family this morning.
Mm-hmm. Let me mention to all of you, you came in, you heard the word, you know I'm not Bill Collins. We will celebrate Bill's life together here at Epworth in a memorial service on Saturday, the 18th of July. And that date was picked both to think that the most people might be able to be here and also that it was convenient for Donna Lee Collins and all of their children to be with us. So watch for word of that. We'll have a memorial celebration of Bill's homegoing on July 18th. Thank you, Bruce. Yes. Randy McClure of Summertime, okay. Please, Lynn.
Lola,
Ann, and Lexi.
Alexi.
Okay. Please. New life for David Dries. Most of you remember David Dries as a lifeguard here. How can he be old enough to be a dad? great celebration in your family. The Lorries have a new baby, too. Hank is and Deb are new grandparents. Clayton is a new dad. Some of you might have heard that news. Another new life we celebrate. Jean Deal's brother is ill, and this is her brother Jim Ford. Now, not the Ford family that's here at Epworth. This is her other brother who's in Stuart, Florida, and we want to remember Jim in our prayers. And also, I share the news that Marty Strong died this last week. Marty is the younger sister of Judy Siebert of Crow's Nest Cottage, and I spoke to Judy by phone, and she asked that we would remember all of Marty's family and her extended family at the time of this death. Is there anyone else? Then let's begin worship together as Jamie will center our thoughts in a musical piece. I invite you to join me in prayer. Gracious God, you are our light as well as our strength. And we've come back to this place we love so much, and here today we're in this time of worship as those who need the breath of your Spirit to blow through us, the brightness of your light to shine in us and around us, the fire of your love to bring us new life, and the sight and sound of your glory to bring forth our alleluias. Revive us again, Lord, this season, and again, and again, and again. We pray in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Our hymn is number 319. Larry thought this was a confessional booth. He came up and said, you know, I was talking. I forgot to pass out all the hymnals. But I gave him absolution. And if you need a hymnal, if you'll raise your hand, and then if we'll stand together for hymn number 319. To remain standing, I invite you to turn back to the order of our worship, that I'm suggesting that we say what it is we believe together. This morning we're using words that come from our neighbors to the north of America. It's the affirmation from the United Church of Canada, which is Presbyterian, Methodist, and Congregational, all rolled into one. So let's unite our voices together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you be seated? So let us be in a season of prayer, beginning first with a time of silent prayer where you commit to God the very personal concerns on your heart. Let us pray together. Gracious God, it's a sense of wonder that brings us back to this place we love so well. Even now, as we can hear the lake just lapping up there on the rocks, even now, as we've felt the joy of greeting persons over this weekend, and as however we've come to this place this morning to have time to see old friends, people that go way back in our lives for many of us, this has been a place of healing, of love, of recreation, of fun, of worship. So many memories are just bound up for us here, and we're grateful to be here again. We acknowledge you, Lord, as the one who has not only given us the gift of life as our Creator, but you also sustain us through our life, no matter what life brings to us. And so many of us have very personal concerns about our lives and the lives of people we love today, the life of our nation and of a troubled world. But we also know, Lord, that we can bring those concerns to you, and you give us strength and courage and love in abundance to handle the things that life brings. So we've mentioned aloud persons that we're particularly concerned about and would say aloud today, not only as we remember them now in prayer, but each one of us takes them from this place in our personal prayers. We do praise you for the life of Bill Collins and thank you for the gifts he gave to Epworth over so many years. Now we ask that you surround Donna Lee and all of their children and grandchildren as they're adjusting to physical life without Bill here. We remember Randy McClure. We remember Lola. We remember Ann Roberts. We remember Alexi. We remember Jim Ford. We remember the family of Marty Strong. We pray for your healing, wherever possible, whatever that healing will look like in your plan, Lord. We commit these persons to you. We celebrate the gifts of new life in two families very recently here at Epworth. And Lord, we also in our time of prayer would remember that you've instructed us to come and bring our sins of omission and commission before you. Because the great hope that we know in your love is as we ask for your forgiveness, you give that forgiveness. And give us strength and courage to live life a bit differently. So for our life together here at Epworth as we begin this new season, for our families' lives represented in each cottage here, for our extended families all over the country and in some cases across all over the globe, we just pray and commit all that we are and all that we have to you, because we know all of it was yours before it was ours. And so we end our prayer praying the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples when they came to him and said, Lord, we don't know how to pray. He said, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We do come now to that time in our service when we acknowledge God as the giver of all that we have and we offer back to him our offerings. May we pray. Gracious God, help us to understand that as we are generous in our lives, so you just flood us with more generosity from your love. So these gifts now we would offer in your name. Amen. Carol, before you start, I fail to acknowledge that Carol Hilburn is with us. And she has generously, we've usually had a musical offering from that cottage, and this year she's the musical offering for us with her flute. Carol, thank you for being with us. I invite you to stand as we turn to hymn number 326, 326.
Spirit, Spirit.
invite you to be seated. So for our reading from Scripture today, I'm in Matthew's Gospel, the 14th chapter. We're going to begin with the 22nd verse, but let me set the stage for you for just a moment of what has happened. Jesus was very saddened by the death of John the Baptist. He's exhausted. He comes from Judea up to Galilee, and he's hoping for a little time alone. But the people were following him. And the people, though he was in a boat to cross the sea, the people could see the boat, and it wasn't like Lake Michigan. Many of you have been to the Lake Galilee. You can see across it. They just followed where their boat was going. And finally, Jesus took compassion on them, and he went in, and he was with the people. And it's the story of the feeding of the 5,000 that happened there on the edge of the lake. And then after that, now he told the disciples he really wanted some time alone. He was going to go away to pray by himself. Would they take the boat and go on before him? And so that's where we pick up the story in the 22nd chapter. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side as he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountains by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat, by this time, was many furlongs distant from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were petrified and said, "It's a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately he spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not fear." And Peter called to him, "Lord, if it is you, then call me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind and the waves, he was afraid and he began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, man of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the winds ceased. And those who were in the boat then worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of God. Bow with me for just a brief further moment of prayer. Father, in this time and in this place, we dare to ask you that the thoughts of our minds, that the feelings of our hearts, and even my words might be those that you would inspire in us, that we might draw closer to you and know you as our God who loves us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Are you a movie buff? Straining from the back to hear me. But I want to tell you today about another version of Cinderella. This is a story of Cinderella that I learned from Robert Fulghum, the Presbyterian preacher turned newspaper writer turned author. And he tells of a kindergarten class that decided for the end of the year celebration of their year in kindergarten, they would put on a performance of Cinderella. Now you can imagine for the teacher, casting was a little difficult, mainly because every little girl in the class thought she should be Cinderella. But finally the casting was done, at least mostly done. Everybody had a part except one little boy, a little roller-poly guy named Norman. And the teacher went to Norman and she said, "Norman, what would you like to be in the story?" And Norman thought for a moment and then he said, "I think I'll be the pig." And the teacher said, "But Norman, there's not a pig in the story of Cinderella." And Norman said, "Well, there is now." Wise teacher, she knew she should not argue. So she decided she would let Norman decide what role the pig would have in Cinderella. And as the rehearsals went on, it was discovered that the pig went everywhere that Cinderella went and did whatever Cinderella did. Now, Norman didn't have any lines, but Norman's little face reflected whatever was happening in the drama of the story. When things were serious, he looked serious. When things were anxious, he looked very anxious. Worrisome, he had that look on his face. And he began to fill the stage with his presence just by being there. And then at the end of the performance, when Cinderella's carried off to live happily ever after, Norman stood up on his hind legs and barked. Now, this was troublesome in the rehearsals, and the teacher finally decided she had to do something about it. She went to Norman and she said, "Look, Norman, even if there is a pig in the story of Cinderella, pigs don't bark." To which Norman replied, "This one does." The night of the performance was wonderful. The auditorium was full, all the other children in the school, the parents, and it was just a delightful performance. And you can imagine, at the end of the performance, there was a standing ovation for the pig. Word began to go out in the community, and this teacher began to get calls, and someone on the other end of the phone would say, "We hear your class put on Cinderella, and it was wonderful. What was so special about Cinderella?" And the teacher would say, "Well, we had a pig in it, actually a barking pig." To which whoever it was on the other end of the phone would say, "There's no barking pig in Cinderella." To which the teacher would reply with great conviction, "Well, there is now." Now, I think Jesus would like Norman and his barking pig. Norman was a fellow who wasn't going to let others put boundaries on his emotions or his imagination. He was going to be who he was going to be, no matter how foolish it might seem to others. Norman was in the scripture we read together. Oh, you look a little bit confused. That's because in the Bible, his name is Simon Peter. We could have read the story out of any one of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, or Luke. I chose Matthew today, and the reason I did is because in Matthew's version, we have Peter asking Jesus to call him, and then Peter's subsequent swimming lesson. Now, I am quite sure that every person in this room has heard more than one sermon, many more than one sermon, on this passage. And my suspicion is that sermons you've heard probably focused on Peter, particularly the point at which he finds himself sinking in the stormy sea because he began to doubt Jesus. But if we focus on the moment that Peter sinks, we will have missed a wonderful part of the story, a promising part of the story. Well, we can focus on Peter sinking if we want to, but that's not the whole story. For just a few moments today, I want to ask you with me to put aside failure and instead to look at the promise. Peter walks on the water, just like Jesus. Now, somebody in the back row is ready. "Is she crazy? Doesn't she notice after just a few moments he's sinking?" Yes, I know that. You know that too. But for a brief moment, Peter walked on the water. And Peter showed great faith in getting out of the boat and going to Jesus. And the reason he sinks is not because it's wrong to get out of the boat, but because his faith wavers. But the great failure in the story is not Peter. The great failure is the disciples who are huddled back there in the back of the boat. Peter's faith may have been weak, but it was a whole lot stronger than the rest of the bunch. And Peter had boldness. He was a bold guy. He was like Norman. He was going to be who he was going to be. And it was only natural for him that when he saw Jesus out there, he would just enthusiastically jump overboard and try to walk out and meet him. That was consistent with his character. He was enthusiastic. He was impulsive. Just as natural as a pig standing on its hind legs and barking. Peter, he was that guy who would often talk without thinking. You know, if many of you here grew up with my three kids, if you asked Josh, Miracle, or Amanda, they would say to you, "You know, Mom was born talking." That's what my kids like to say about me. Well, Peter's kind of like that. He would talk all the time, and he would talk sometimes without thinking, and he would act without pondering the consequences. He was much more one of those persons who thought with his heart, talked with his heart than with his brain. And he was more apt to be right out in front than he was to be behind where it's safe. Where the rest of those people are, where it's safe back there. And you know what? Like that very wise kindergarten teacher knew, if we help people like that refine their enthusiasm and learn how to rightly channel their impulsiveness, they become leaders. Amazing. And you know what I think? I think Jesus prefers people who are doers, who think outside the box. People like Norman, the barking pig, and like Peter, floundering there in the water, about to drown because he so impulsively jumped into the water to go to Jesus. I think Jesus has far too many do-nothing followers all around the globe, the kind who really like to play it safe. Now, somebody in the room is saying, "Wow, does she not know there's a place for caution in the Christian life?" I know that. You know that. But you also know that by my praising Peter and cheering for Norman, the barking pig, I'm not endorsing letting go of all common sense and embarking on reckless kind of foolish behavior. But there comes a time when you have to get out of your comfort zone. There comes a time when God places blessings outside of our comfort zone, and then he invites them to us to come and get them. Could he be doing that for us now at Epworth this summer? That's my question. Could there be some blessings that are yet out there for us this summer at Epworth, but maybe we have to step out of the boat a little bit to find them? If we want to receive things we've never had before, then we have to do some things we've never done before. As the coach of the Buffalo Bills football team is well known to say over and over again, you have to take some chances. If Michelangelo had wanted to play it safe, he would have painted the floor of the Sistine Chapel. Or do you remember the classic story, Don Quixote? In that wonderful story, there's this character named Pancho Sanchez. Remember him? And in one scene, Pancho finds himself hanging on by his fingertips to a windowsill. It's in the darkness. And he manages to hang on all night, only to have the light of day discover that his toes are 1 inch from the ground. Jesus loved believers. Jesus loves people who dream great dreams, who are still believing that all things are possible for those who believe in God. Epworth was built by those kind of people. We need to recognize that together. Epworth was built by doers who believed in recreation. That's the word, we call it recreation. That recreation was not only of your body, but also of your spirit and your soul as well. And so they established this place we love so much as a place to get away. And our legacy at Epworth is of a people who believed God could do great things through them at this place. So where are we now? Where are we now? We begin now the 121st season of this place. And we talk about wanting to do great things for Christ in this place, but we don't always want to sacrifice our comfort and the safety that we know. That's the boat. Feels really good there. It's our individual cottages, you know. It's warm, fuzzy. We love it. And anything to kind of mean that we have to sacrifice any of that, well, we're not so sure. But you know, it's not going to happen if we don't realize we may need to step out just a little bit. Miracles are, by very definition, risky. Walking on the water is risky. It's a miracle because a miracle defies the natural order of things, doesn't it? Well, the scripture story talked about walking on the water, and the promise of scripture is that if we respond to the call of God, you'll walk on the water, and I can too. That's the promise. The lesson, we have to get out of the boat if it's going to happen. The interesting thing for us to say together is that this faith we share together doesn't make a whole lot of sense to some other people, the ones who are still back in the boat. Babies born to virgins does not make sense. Empty tombs doesn't make sense. Choosing death in order to live, that doesn't make sense. Ruling by serving doesn't make sense. And being first by bringing up the rear doesn't make sense. And certainly, it doesn't make sense to get out of a perfectly safe boat at the height of a storm. Won't it be a shame if the only contribution that the Epworth Church makes is to hold on to the boat? Has God placed a dream in your heart for Epworth? Something we can do or something we can be here in this community? The other night after dinner, Phil and I went down and we were parked at the boat launch just at the south end of Stearns Park looking at the lighthouse, and we watched the Badger come into harbor. It made me think of that great saying by that very wise person, Anonymous, who said, "A ship in the harbor is safe." But that's not what ships are built for. Let's let others call out for safe harbor. At Epworth, I think it's time for barking pigs. It's a time for the people of God to step out and here in this place, this summer, to do great things for God. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing number 347, a song that means a great deal to us as we're here on the shores of this lake we love so much. Number 347.
Lord, you have come to the lake shore.
receive the blessing with heads unbowed, the grace of Christ attend you, the love of God surround you, the Holy Spirit keep you, and all you love, this day and tomorrow and in all of life's tomorrows. Go in the Spirit of Christ.